live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the North's First and Deputy First Ministers have moved to address concerns over the way COVID-19 testing is carried out in Northern Ireland. We'll hear from the Deputy First Minister who addressed a press conference after an executive meeting this afternoon. Some healthcare workers are to be redeployed to private nursing homes in the Republic to help tackle the spread of COVID-19. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil released the framework document spelling out their goals for a coalition government. We'll hear of some of the reaction from the smaller parties and indeed from one government minister who says it won't necessarily lead to stable government. Later in the bulletin, we'll have sports news with Oisin. Good evening. The North's First and Deputy First Ministers have moved to address concerns over the way COVID-19 testing is carried out in Northern Ireland. Derry City and Strabane District Councillor Sandra Duffy said today testing must be ramped up in the community as final preparations are made to open a test centre in the city this week. Councillor Duffy said the extent of the impact of COVID-19 needs to be fully recorded so it can be fully understood and responded to.
I am very concerned around the figures that are being released. I do believe that they are a suppression of what the actual picture is out there. I believe that those figures could lead to complacency within the community as they will believe the situation isn't as bad as it actually is. We are not seeing testing currently outside of hospital settings. I know within the Derry City area that a number of our care homes have seen deaths within the care homes, that people have been symptomatic of COVID-19, but they haven't been recorded as COVID-19 deaths. So all this paints a very different picture to what the official statistics are being released are. Unless we start to ramp up testing, unless we can understand the scale of this illness within our community, then we're never going to be in a position to properly tackle it.
Well, after an executive meeting this afternoon, the Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, said testing will be ramped up and weekly statistics will now be published outlining care home deaths. She said the results are likely to be sobering. First, she outlined the latest figures for today.
Very sadly, today we can confirm that a further 6 people have died as a result of COVID-19, bringing the total number of confirmed deaths to 140. So to all the families and friends of those people who have lost, I am so sorry for your loss. Our thoughts are with you all as you not only come to try to come to terms with the loss of a loved one, but to do so in the most challenging and the most heartbreaking of circumstances. And to everyone who has lost someone during this time, whether it's been a result of coronavirus or not, you are not forgotten. Your loved ones are not forgotten. And we stand with you and we send our most sincerest of condolences. It's crucially important that we have a very clear picture of the impact of COVID-19 right across our community. And I know there are many people who are concerned around the reporting of COVID-19 deaths outside of hospital settings and particularly in our care homes. And we all know that our elderly population is particularly susceptible to the effects of this disease. And we also know that care homes are particularly vulnerable. And it is a welcome development that NISRA will now be publishing weekly reports on the deaths and suspected deaths related to COVID-19 in care homes. I think these statistics, whenever they're available, will be sobering, and I believe that they will reflect a truer picture of the devastation that is caused by COVID-19. It will bring home to us all just how serious this situation is, and more importantly, why we all must continue to follow that crucial advice. To stay at home and only go out if you absolutely have to keep that safe distance of 2 metres away from others, and don't go out if you don't have to, and keep washing your hands, because it's because of those actions that we are saving lives.
And that was Michelle O'Neill, the Deputy First Minister, speaking after a executive meeting which took place this afternoon. Well, in the Republic, some healthcare workers are going to be redeployed to private nursing homes to help tackle the spread of COVID-19. It follows discussions between the government and the INMO. The sector has been badly hit by the coronavirus. 151 clusters are now present in nursing homes across the country. With more, here's Stephanie Rowan.
There are now almost 11,500 confirmed cases of the coronavirus here, and 406 people people have died. Dublin still accounts for the majority of cases, while Leitrim has the fewest. There are 408 clusters across the country. More than a third of them are in nursing homes. Nursing homes also account for almost half of the fatalities. Now, for the first time ever, nurses in the public health system are to be redeployed to private nursing homes to help tackle the spread of COVID-19. Tony Fitzpatrick from the INMO says it'll be done on a voluntary basis.
Once there's full disclosure of the environment they're going into, once they can more than two staff at a time go in, our members and the members of the health sector unions will step forward in order to help these older persons at this particular time.
Meanwhile, the director of the National Virus Reference Laboratory says we're now testing almost 3,000 people every day, up from 1,500 last week.
Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have released the framework document spelling out their goals for a coalition government. It contains 10 missions spelling out what the two parties would try to achieve over the next 5 years, with the opening of the document focused on the current coronavirus pandemic. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
The opening focuses heavily on the impact of the coronavirus and securing an economic recovery when the health crisis is over. It promises targeted sectoral business plans and also commits to no income tax or USC hikes and no social welfare cuts during the recovery to come. The health section promises a move towards a universal healthcare system with all new consultants to be offered public-only contracts. It's short on specific climate change targets but says the government would be committed to a new Green Deal and a citizens' assembly on biodiversity. On housing, it says the Land Development Agency would be empowered to deliver affordable and social homes and leaves open the door to a possible referendum on housing to lower land prices. It also commits to reduce childcare costs, a living wage, and to set up a unit in the Department of the Taoiseach to look at a united Ireland. A much more left-wing document than what the two parties were offering during the election, but much of it is short on specific targets as Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil's parliamentary parties prepare to debate it this evening.
Well, one government minister admits there is no guarantee that a stable government could be formed on the basis of the framework document which was published. Communications Minister Richard Bruton insists this is only a starting point for discussions with smaller parties.
What we need to do is see, is there the basis on which a government can be formed? And, you know, there is no guarantee that that will happen. And I think, you know, many of the commentators who, you know, are expressing dismay that this document is not more detailed, I think they've misconstrued what it's about. It is about exploring, can the basis for a government be found? This isn't a final document.
This evening, the Green Party has said it will consider the document and react in more detail later in the week. Labour leader Alan Kelly said it's uncosted and purely aspirational, but his party will examine it. While the Social Democrats have said while the document is portrayed as radical change of direction, it's disappointing and vague. However, they say they will examine it carefully and respond in more detail later. A Donegal councillor says the government must look at giving breaks to small businesses in a bid to ensure as many as possible are saved. Councillor Michael McClafferty says the starting point should be the deferral of a new carbon tax regime due to come into effect next month. Councillor McClafferty says with a new recession looming, government and banks must act now to protect businesses and jobs as much as possible.
The way the economy is going at the moment, we're very lucky for not heading into another recession. And it's, I feel myself, my own personal opinion, I feel we're slowly but surely sliding into one. So I think any taxes, particularly the carbon tax at the moment, which is coming on stream now, possibly in May, if it could be at least deferred for at least 2-3 years to give businesses a chance, small businesses and big businesses alike, I'll pull the banks into this as well. Every man, woman and child bailed out the banks in 2008-09 to get them up and going. So it's up to the banks now, and particularly indeed the government, that have the, when the government is formed again, that will have the power to give the businesses a break, big and small, to try and get them kick-started, to get the economy going again. Because if we slide into another recession, Donald, which I feel we're doing at the minute, it's going to be a disaster for the country, a disaster for everybody as a whole.
In early March, we were discussing the issue as though it would be pretty much resolved by June. It's now absolutely clear that is not going to be the case, and financial measures and financial implications are going to go way beyond June. Indeed, it looks as though they could now go way beyond 2020.
Yeah, like I'm hearing myself from sources ourselves within the council there, going from higher authority, that they're expecting us not to be back in Lifford at least around Christmas time, as you say, beyond 2020. So, I mean, when you hear that going on, it's a serious situation. This is going to be what us to well into beyond 2020, unfortunately. Every business, everybody's going to suffer, and everybody's going to have to do their bit as well accordingly. The government is the big one. They need to get the oil going in the wheels here, grease the cogs, and help the businesses.
And that was Councillor Michael McClafferty. Well, there's a warning that 110,000 retail jobs could be lost permanently unless government action is taken. Retail Excellence Ireland says it could cost the state almost €3 billion in welfare payments and lost tax revenue in a full year. The organisation is recommending measures including the distribution of a €500 gift card to all Irish households and policies on rent and rates. Chief Executive David Fitzsimons says the government has to plan ahead.
We're profiling what's happening across the world in terms of retail and who potentially will get a job and come back to work from temporary layoff, and unfortunately those that will be made redundant and left on social welfare. So it's not exactly the most positive message obviously today, but we do need to start preparing the most monumental recovery plans that has ever been if we've any chance of keeping those jobs within the industry.
The Justice Minister says reports of hundreds of cars arriving into Ireland at ferry ports last week just don't stack up. There's been some concern after photographs emerged online appearing to show British registered cars driving off ferries. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan says Gardaí have looked into it and found it not to be true. He says some cars were turned back and the issue will continue to be monitored. Dublin Airport says it remains open as an essential service for cargo and repatriation flights. Yesterday, there were 58 scheduled flights and fewer than 300 passengers arrived at the airport. Most of them were Irish people travelling home. Those who do come home from abroad are urged to self-isolate for a fortnight. The EU's chief Brexit negotiator has described discussions with his British counterpart today as constructive. Michel Barnier and David Frost spoke by video conference. Both sides agreed the need to organise further negotiating rounds in order to make real, tangible progress in the negotiations by June. Three separate full weeks of talks will take place later this month, next month and in June. The implementation of the withdrawal agreement was also discussed at today's meeting. The chair of the Joint Policing Committee in Letterkenny has hit out to those responsible for Sunday night's arson attacks on two masts on Letterkenny Circular Road. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says it's a very serious situation, particularly as the resources of the Gardaí and the fire service were tied up for a time. On today's 9 till noon show, Councillor McMonagall acknowledged that he has concerns about 5G and has backed a motion at Donegal County Council level calling for a full review of its safety. However, he says in this instance he accepts the masts in question are not 5G masts.
We discussed this in Lufford and the councillors agreed that we would write to the relevant authorities and ask them for this independent review, and we're awaiting that. We also put in at the behest of the residents an appeal to Embord Planala because of where the masts were actually sited and the legislation used to enable that to happen. We're awaiting a decision from Embord Planala, which we were told would come at the end of April. I'm disappointed in that you know, that people have used the coronavirus pandemic to go out and carry out these acts and take away resources from Garda Síochána and indeed the fire service, and then to heighten concerns of the local community.
Do you generally have an issue with 3 or 4G masts in residential areas, even if they are providing mobile coverage to the likes of Letterkenny University Hospital?
I would have an issue if they were presenting a health risk to the local community. But as we said, 3 and 4G has been shown that it hasn't, and it isn't proven to be a health risk to the local community. I mean, we were told 4 months ago when this first route was raised that there is no 5G in Donegal. To my knowledge, there still is not. And we were told all along and continually by the company who was erecting them that it was for 4G enhancement. And until someone would give me clear proof that these masks are 5G and that the 5G is posing a very serious risk to people's health, then what can we really do?
It's 16 minutes past 5 o'clock. Time for Sports News. We say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games and the Super 8 qualifiers in football and the round-robin format. And hurling are set to be axed under any revised GAA championship structure. The GAA's Director of Communications, Alan Minton, admits that they can't host any inter-county action until July at the earliest due to the pandemic. He would also like to avoid a straight knockout format.
I think the first thing that it will fall under threat surely because there won't be enough weekends to play. It will be the group stages of the quarterfinals in football and the group stages in the provincial championships in hurling, namely in Leinster and Munster. There just won't be sufficient weekends. People have asked us about straight knockout scenarios. Again, that's another thing you would probably leave further down the list if you could.
Well, the Ulster Council also this week cancelled the start of this year's Minor Football Championship. They say it will now be played as a straight knockout in tandem with the Senior Championship if and when it resumes. GA pundit Martin McHugh says it's hard to see any sport being played this year at all.
The fact that the social distancing look is going to be in till we get that vaccine, I mean, it's very hard to see sport being played. You know, other sports being played, you know, with any sport that you have physical contact and especially being played. So it's very hard to see it, you know, and as you said, unless they do get a cure, because as players going to be comfortable themselves coming together for training together then before they play and then coming together to meet other counties and that there. So, yeah, very, very hard to see it. But from a GE point of view, you know, suppose they're hoping and praying that something, you know, that it will change, and talking about playing games behind closed doors, and there are different things being said out there. But it's very hard to see Gaelic football being played this side of Christmas at the minute, the way things are at the minute. Personally, I can't see, and I don't think a lot of people are thinking about it out there at the minute. It's not, you know, you don't have much talk about it, you know, because understandably there's far more important things at the minute in the country than sport, and that's the reality, and we have to realise that is the reality out there, you know. And sport, you know, will be one of the last things to go back. Will be with the likes of nightclubs, you know, weddings, big gatherings, and sport will be in there with them, in my opinion. So it's going to be, they're going to be some of the last things to go back with your big gatherings. So how long is that away? To me, it's a long, long time away.
And you can hear more from Martin McHugh in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. We go to cross-channel soccer. Dundee say they intend to vote no to the proposals to end the SPFL seasons early. The club claims their vote was electronically submitted but did not reach the governing body. In a statement, Dundee added they'd ideally like to use the opportunity to restructure the Scottish League season. Well, Mike Ashley may be finally on the verge of selling Newcastle United for $300 million to Amanda Stevenley's PCP Partners, which are backed by a Saudi Arabian wealth fund. Any deal would have to pass the Premier League's owners and directors criteria. Cricket Ireland have cut the wages of all non-playing staff as a result of financial pressures stemming from the shutdown. Those cuts will be in place for April and May, where Chief Executive Warren Dutrum will see his pay cut by 25% to the end of the year. Cricket Ireland say it would be unfair to impose such cuts on contracted players who are already missing out on match fees. And finally, in cycling, the Tour de France has been postponed until the end of August because of the pandemic. The cycle race had been due to start in June, but French officials ruled no public events will take place until at least mid-July. The Tour will now start on the 29th of August and will be followed by Italy's Giro d'Italia and Spain's Vuelta in a revised cycling calendar. That's it, Donal. We'll have more sports tomorrow morning here on Highland.
Thank you, Washing. Companies and organisations aiming to help healthcare responses to the COVID-19 crisis can now collaborate via a new online platform. InterTrade Ireland and Tech Ireland have set up the portal, which allows people to see very quickly who's involved in similar projects, both inside and outside their own area. It means they can discuss collaborations online and meet pressing public needs. John O'Dea is the Chief Executive of Tech Ireland. He says this is all about cooperation.
To the best of our knowledge, there isn't any database you can go to easily see what's out there in terms of products and innovations that are addressing the issue. And for companies, it's really around quickly seeing who can they find in terms of securing expertise or advice or supply chain or what have you.
And it's interesting that it's not just companies. In Donegal, for instance, LOAIT and work it's doing is included on the map. We have the Nerve Centre in Derry and other similar organisations. It's not necessarily commercial companies. This is right across the board.
Most companies, the best thing you can give them is link them to somebody who's in the same space as them. Peer-to-peer learning is almost the best way of helping a business. Normally you can pick up that in a trade fair or what have you, but you don't have that opportunity for something that has moved as fast as this has.
Coming to an area like PPE, a lot of firms, O'Neill's and Strabane comes to mind, a lot of firms now making PPE. Everyone is learning together, as it were.
Absolutely. It isn't kind of a zero-sum game. It isn't about if I tell you something, I lose out. The opportunities can be very large, but you need to respond very quickly. Being able to identify quickly who else is trying to do the same kind of thing, and you learn from each other, and I think you can help each other. Intertrade Ireland's kind of raison d'etre is to encourage kind of cooperation cross-border. Having something like this that is an all-Ireland problem, helping them work together to develop an all-Ireland solution makes sense.
And that was John O'Dea of Tech Ireland. Children and young people in Donegal are being asked to reach out to elderly relatives and older people in the community as part of an oral history project. The Echoes of the Decade project has been disrupted as a result of the pandemic, but the council says this could be a very worthwhile project while people are confined to their homes. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
Donegal County Council says gathering family and local stories is one way people can feel closer at a time of social isolation. The council is urging children and young people to use the telephone to reach out to grandparents or older people in the community who are confined to their homes. A questionnaire is available from the Donegal Archives website outlining questions that could be discussed. Adults are also being urged to get involved in this project by reaching out to your own parents and older family or community members. The Donegal County Archives is launching this oral history project as part of its Peace Corps funded Echoes of the Decade project. This is a joint project with the Donegal County Museum and is part of the Decade of Centenaries. Workshops which had been arranged are temporarily suspended, but the council says it's hoped they can resume once restrictions have been lifted. In the meantime, the council says the very important progress can be made at community level.
And finally, it's been confirmed by the government that the amount paid to low-income workers through the wage subsidy scheme is being increased. They're now guaranteed 85% of their normal pay. Workers earning more than €76,000 are now also eligible for the scheme. It follows a clarificatory statement by the Finance Minister this afternoon. With more detail, here's Casey O'Riordan.
For employees whose average net income was less than €412 per week, the government has increased the wage subsidy from 70 to 85%. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says the increase is partially in response to concerns that some low-income earners would have been better off being let go by their employers in order to avail of the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment, which is €350 per week.
However, it should also be noted that the PUP may not be claimed if a person chooses to leave employment at this time, but rather when they are laid off.
Concerns have also been raised about the tax liability people being paid in this way will face when the scheme ends, as it's not being taxed in real time. Revenue Chairman Niall Cody outlines an example of what the tax liability may be for the average worker.
A single person who's on 31,000 gross a year, they would have an additional liability of €120 for the year.
Other changes have also been made to the scheme. Employees earning between €412 and €500 net per week will now qualify for a subsidy of €350 per week. The scheme is also available to workers earning over €76,000 a year if their salary has been decreased by more than 20%.
Well, the forecast for this evening, and it'll stay dry into this evening and tonight with clear spells, mist and fog forming. Lowest temperatures overnight of 1 to 4 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow Thursday, another dry day for most of the area with nice sunshine. Hazy at times because of high cloud. Highest temperatures 14 to 16 degrees Celsius in mostly moderate east and northeasterly breezes, but temperatures could be somewhat lower in a number of coastal parts. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the main stories in brief on this Wednesday evening, the North's First and Deputy First Ministers have moved to address concerns over the way COVID-19 testing is carried out in Northern Ireland. Derry City and Strabane Councillor Sandra Duffy had said testing must be ramped up in the community, and after an executive meeting this afternoon, the Minister and Deputy First Minister said that will happen. Weekly statistics will now be published outlining care home deaths. It came as it was confirmed a further six people have died from COVID-19 in Northern Ireland, bringing the death toll north of the border to 140. Also in the news today, some healthcare workers are to be redeployed to private nursing homes in the Republic to help combat the spread of COVID-19 in that sector. And Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have released the framework document outlining their goals for coalition government. Next news at 6. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 15th of April. The death has taken place of Pat Doherty, Main Street, Clonmany, formerly of Ashburn, County Meath. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please. all inquiries to Comiskey Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Jackie Leach, 59A Owen Rea Drive, Strabane, formerly of Irish Street, Waterside, Derry. In accordance with guidelines, funeral will be private to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers to Parkview House Residents Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Bridie Doherty, Mulla Duff, Kincashla. Due to HSE and government guidelines, funeral service is strictly private to family only, please. Burial tomorrow in Belcridge Cemetery, with a memorial mass to be held at a later date. And the death has occurred of Susan Noon, Clunche, Clonmany. Due to current HSE and government guidelines, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Nazareth House, Fawn, care of any family member, or Comiskey Funeral Directors. Memorial Mass will take place at a later date.